We're going to stay with business models of newspapers, Australian ones this time. This month, Fairfax started using a metered paywall on the Sydney Morning Herald and Age websites. But Nick Hodges from Mediacom Australia says paywalls only work for a short time.
When you introduce a paywall and suddenly it's hard to access a piece of content, that changes the way that we share content. And news today is a social activity. We might not be doing it with other people, but when we read great things and we want to comment them or share them, we post them to Facebook or we post them to Twitter. And what we see immediately when paywalls are introduced is a drop in the traffic to news sites from things like Facebook and Twitter, which are responsible for, you know, 15 to 20% of traffic to news sites. Because suddenly there's a paywall in place. I'm not going to share something because I know that some people won't be able to read it. And most of the time, especially for general news, that story can be found somewhere else.
All right. So where does that leave organisations like Fairfax and News then? Because what they have done is they've taken a series of rational decisions and they've clearly missed opportunities along the way. We're not going to talk about that now. But at the moment, this seems like a rational approach for them, having this metered paywall approach, because of the model that they've had for years, which is the physical newspaper. They can't just give up. What do you think they ought to do?
Yeah, well, and I think you highlighted one of the core issues there, which is they're trying to replace their traditional distribution structure with a digital one. And very few people within the industry and within the business seem to be questioning whether that fundamental idea is a good idea. And, you know, realistically, the only reason newspapers ever had presses and trucks was because they had to. They couldn't distribute without them. If you think that the business they're in is creating the content that we collectively refer to as news, then that's all that they need to do, and that's what they should be focusing on, and letting other people work out how to distribute it in the most effective way possible and how to present it in the way that people actually want to consume it.
But surely then, if they don't charge for access to their website, how are they going to get money?
Well, that element of monetization is one that is really more connected to the distribution and the presentation of content now than it is to the creation of content. If people can create applications, and there are great examples of this, things like Flipboard, things like Zeit and Circa, where they are taking news content and they're presenting it in ways that people actually want to consume it.
I'm just not clear on how it works though, Nick. I'm familiar with Flipboard. I've got it on my phone. I think it's a great little app. And what it does is it collects from sources that I'm interested in hearing about, and that's everybody from the New York Times to somebody I might follow on Twitter, and just gives me those stories. And I can kind of flip through them, decide what I want to read, decide what I don't want to read. I love it. Doesn't really cost me anything. And I just don't see how, if, say, Fairfax strikes a deal with Flipboard, Fairfax gets any money.
So Flipboard have gone down two paths of this road. And really, I see Flipboard is sort of probably the leading company that's doing this. But essentially, if you think that all that Flipboard do is grab raw content and present it to users. Now, there's two ways that they have created opportunities for traditional news organizations. The first is actually through a subscription model. So the New York Times, for example, you can access New York Times content on Flipboard, if that's the way that you prefer, over the website. And you can access their free content, but then they also have subscriber content. And so you have to put your subscription details into the Flipboard app, and you can then consume that content. So that's one model, and that's still using a subscription model. The second model that they've more recently introduced is essentially this acknowledgement that if Flipboard are taking care of the content distribution and the content presentation, perhaps they could also take care of the advertising revenue and the ad sales. So what publishers can now do is create content that either just feeds directly, traditional content that feeds directly into Flipboard, or create custom content and these things, sort of Flipboard magazines, and they can share advertising revenue. And so Flipboard will actually, you know, take care of the ad sales on that, and they'll take a 30% cut, and the publisher actually takes the rest. So there is, again, advertising revenue and a mix of advertising and subscription revenue built into the way something like Flipboard works.
So you're saying that a company, a newspaper company like News or Fairfax, should be prepared to outsource its distribution to these people who are already expert at it in the digital realm and take a cut of what money is made there.
Yeah, look, I think the future for news organisations is to be content creating businesses who know how to find, know how to create great content. And that's reasonably, that's in the DNA of most great newsrooms and most great organisations. They just sort of need to speed up the evolution of their business model and go, okay, if that's what we're good at, let's focus on that. Because there are countless people out there creating startups that are trying to work out better ways to filter, better ways to present great content to people. And so at the moment, you know, there are multiple quite successful startups, people like Zite, you know, Circa's a really interesting one, where they're paying for access to things like Reuters. And then they're repackaging that content. So there definitely is a future for just creating that content and focusing on creating great content and then allowing people to try and sort of crack the business model of distribution. And you can have, you know, if you're not invested in that, there's no risk. So 99% of them will fail, but 1% will succeed, and that's where your future is.
But it's interesting. You bring up Reuters as an example of people who are experimenting with this, I imagine. But, of course, Reuters have never been a newspaper publisher. They're a wire agency, and in fact, the most profitable part of their business is in the financial information end of things. They have less to lose and less rejigging of their culture by saying, well, we'll just make this available to anyone who wants it and see what money we can get out of it.
Absolutely. And I think the interesting thing about Reuters is that's what they've always done. They are really leading the way with a few other organisations. You know, The Guardian definitely stands out as another organisation that is sort of zigging to the zag of people like News and Fairfax. Rather than putting up paywalls, they're creating sort of an open content API, allowing anybody to access and do what they will with their content.
So an API, what's that stand for?
So an API is an application programming interface. It's a sort of computer term, but probably the easiest way to describe it is that it's a doorway through which people can access content or data. So rather than humans going through the doorway and getting that content, it's websites or apps or other computer programs that can access that content. And it's not sort of, in the case of a news API, it's not styled in any way. It's just raw data. So you could almost imagine a spreadsheet that just has a column for the headline, a column for the subhead, for the copy, for the byline, and photos and videos and stuff. And if I have access to that API, I can go through the door, I can search for a certain piece of content or type of content, and then I can take that content back to my website or my application and display it in whatever way I want. And so I can display it in a traditional way. There's applications like Wibbits, which is really interesting, which takes a text story and turns it into a video by going and finding images that are relevant and creating an automated voiceover. Or applications like Circa, which take long articles or traditionally sort of long news articles and turn them into very short tidbits.
The problem that I can see, though, that the traditional newspaper publishers have got is that even organisations like Fairfax, which have said the future's digital, we know that's where we're going. But in the meantime, they're still publishing actual physical artefacts, newspapers. They're still trying to make their website make money. You're not saying give up on that, are you? You're saying, look, you're going to have to do this as well.
Yes, it's not a you should switch all the printing presses off, you should abandon your website and you should go to this new model. It's simply taking a look at what's going on with the news and how we're going to be accessing news over the next 5 to 10 years and thinking about the best way for that to happen. And reasonably, the best ideas aren't going to come out of the news organisation. There's far more people thinking about this problem outside of the industry than there are inside the industry. So APIs allow news organisations to essentially take advantage of that opportunity of other people sort of doing a lot of the hard work and putting up a lot of the risk.
Nick Hodges is with communications agency MediaCom Australia. Just before we go, good luck to Brett Clegg, leaving the Group Director of Business Media role at Fairfax to go back to news, and to Sean Aylmer, who moves up into that gig from Editor-in-Chief of the Sydney Morning Herald. My thanks, as always, to producer Kyla Slaven, sound engineer Paul Gough. I'm Richard Adie.